Gunnar Jova, Rustavelli Avenue. This is Tabeelpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from rainy and beautiful Tbilisi, Georgia. Data Kalaki of the Sam Shoblo. Today is Thursday, the 23rd of February, 2015. On this date in 1014, victorious Brian Boru is killed at the Battle of Clontarf that ends Viking power in Ireland. 1343, the St. George's Knight Uprising in Estonia against the Danish and German rulers. 1635, the first public school in the United States, Boston Latin School, is founded. 1778, brilliant naval commander John Paul Jones gloriously torches Whitehaven in the UK, the only U.S. attack on British mainland during the American Revolution. 1945, FDR had died, and so Soviet Foreign Minister Molotov shows up to meet Truman for the first time, who yelled at him because he was ticked off about all the broken agreements. Molotov was annoyed by that, stormed out of the meeting, and everybody seemed very happy about it. 1954, Hank Aaron hits the first major league home run, went on to break Babe Ruth's record of 714 career home runs 20 years later. 1968, student protesting the Vietnam War at Columbia University in New York City take over administration buildings and shut down the university. 1987, Chrysler buys luxury automaker Lamborghini. 1993, Eritreans vote overwhelmingly for independence from Ethiopia in a United Nations monitored referendum. 2005, 10 years ago today, the first YouTube video is uploaded entitled Me at the Zoo. Birthdays today are William Shakespeare, Ngaio Marr, Shirley MacLaine, Barbara Streisand, and Enda Kennedy. Enda Kenny. Today is World Book Day. I'm your host, Mark Mullen, along with well-known Georgia pundit and fetishist, Chocha Sporting, Ed McMahon of Tabeelpod.com. Batonneba dakel batonneba, we have with us today William Dunbar. As ever, thank you, William. Good to see you. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian Journal and Fides Politra column this week, upon request, is about the U.S. presidential candidates, what they mean for Georgia, how idiotic the Republican Party is right now in the United States, and how Hillary Clinton will win. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. Snide comment from one with air quotes, William, talking about Vilnius or something, somebody saying something that I said that was wrong about the NFL, which no doubt it is because I don't really care. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tabeelpod.com or send us an email at tabeelpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Following up on Daesh and Pankhizi, the 19-year-old Pankhizi resident Georgi Borchashvili told Rustavi Ori that Chechens approached him in his village of Birkiani and tried to recruit him to fight in Syria. He refused. He says that they are now threatening to kill him. They offered to pay him 400 lari to go to Syria. And when he refused, they proposed it to his parents. He also said that a lot of other people from Birkiani are being approached in a similar way. He said he had already gone to the police about it. According to reports by Voice of America's Russian service, locals in Pankhizi have created a new NGO called Pankhizi Mothers for Saving Their Children to counter the efforts of jihadists to recruit local youths. They said they're taking matters into their own hands because the law enforcement agencies are inefficient. About 150 women from Pankhizi have already joined. Pankhizi elders say that a group of people operating in the gorge are paid by Islamic State to recruit young Kis to go to Syria, that the boys that are recruited previously had no idea what weapons are, don't know how to shoot. Most have never left the village before and are being used as cannon fodder. On the 20th of April, Interior Minister Gomelauri said that they are conducting an investigation and promised to punish those recruiting people to fight in Syria. On the 22nd of April, Prime Minister Garibashvili scolded the media and journalists for what he said was their unnatural hysteria in covering the issue of radicalized Pankhizi youth joining IS.
He says that about everything. Everything that is unfavorable. He blames the media for pointing out the lari's falling, or it's raining, or anything that he doesn't like. He lashes out at Georgia's media and says, why are you reporting on these horrible things? Why aren't you reporting on the flowers in bloom and the lambs gambling in the fields and how well we're doing? And this is another example of that. And I'm very worried for the poor old youth of Pankhizi, and indeed Ajara, and indeed Kramat-Kartli, which also have significant Muslim populations. We're just next door to Syria, really, and the battlefield commander of IS is an ethnic Kis from Pankhizi Gorge, Tarkan Batiashvili. So, I mean, it is a serious problem, and they should be reporting it and paying more attention to it.
Well, I mean,
what are you going to do to stop it?
Khatabashvili is a, you know, is a Georgian man that takes Georgian traditions very seriously, and I think, you know, being offended by any criticism whatsoever is an important Georgian tradition. And so he's just in keeping with Georgian traditions. You're not criticizing Georgian traditions, are you, Will? Okay.
I would never agree with that.
He said the government is, and I quote, taking care of the issue, and that there's just two or three people operating in Pankisi trying to recruit young local youth to fight in Syria. There's new discussions and bickering about what should be the location of the president's residency, since that's incredibly important. The argument, of course, is between the president and the government. On the 20th of April, the Minister of Regional Development, Shavliashvili, announced that during a government meeting that the Antonelli Street residence, which was formerly the Orbeliani Palace and then the American Embassy, has been fully refurbished and has been designed to meet presidential standards. As a reminder, the Antonelli residence was first put on a list of properties to be sold by the government to generate money, but then it was decided not to sell it, and the government body should move, but it wasn't specified which one. President Mark Vallashvili is firm in his decision to stay in the Avlabadi Presidential Palace and will not move to the Antonelli residence. On the 21st of April, President Mark Vallashvili said that the showdown over the location of the Presidential Palace stemmed from his personal confrontation with BI, and that BI does not accept people taking their own decisions. Prime Minister Irakli Ghatabashvili tried to dispel rumors that the government will try to force the president to move his residency. As a reminder, the wrangling over the location of the president's administration was what first triggered the split between BI and Mark Vallashvili, then newly elected as president. The political secretary of the Georgian Dream Party assured that the presidential residence issue will be solved through negotiations, not through compulsion. He also claimed that, according to the Constitution, it's the government's legal duty to decide the presidential residence. But, as a note, according to Presidential Decree number 963, the presidential administration is located at number 1 Abdushelishvili Street, Tbilisi. So, I mean, what are we going to do about this? That was the reason for the biggest split. But
you haven't read what Bidzina said about it. So Bidzina is apparently very angry that there's 10,000 square meters of unused space, according to him, in the presidential residence in Avlabari, which could go to a more deserving function. He hasn't suggested which one. But it's obvious, he gave an interview on his talk shows going on about this. This is now, what, almost a year old, this conflict over the residence, was it even 2 years old? And Bidzina won't let go, and it does seem that all this talk about, you know, the government managing state property and so on, it does seem that maybe they might even sell it out from under Mark Vallashvili. I quite like Kaka Kokoridze's, is that his name, the advisor to the president's response, where he said, well, if you have 10,000 square meters worth of worthy people, we'll come and open up the space to them, Bidzina. But Bidzina didn't respond to that. So I don't know. But I think this is just another way for Bidzina to try and humiliate Mark Vallashvili. But in fact, he just ends up looking crazy, petulant, and totally out of touch. And so he's probably damaging himself. Really.
It doesn't help that, while Misha was there during the sort of one-year period of cohabitation, you know, that they were shutting off the electricity, you know, while he and his family were there, and it was just, I don't know, you know, not, you know, it seems to be addressed. On
it
the
makes
other,
Bidzina look like a big baby, is what
right.
It does.
Like, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, by the same token, the presidential palace is gigantic and, you know, is in the building that used to be the, you know, traffic police palace, and is a little ostentatious, whereas the former U.S. Embassy is right smack dab in the middle of town, is a beautiful old building, and I mean, you know, logically,
I think the presidential institution, he's still the most significant directly elected figure in the country. He's meant to be the commander-in-chief, he's meant to be the supreme representative of foreign affairs, which means that's the place where other presidents come to visit, and I think it's perfectly appropriate to have a nice place for doing those formal state pomp and circumstance functions. And I don't see that in any way undermines the authority of Parliament or the government. It's there, it got built, it costs loads of money. What else are you going to do with it? Let's have the president live there. The Antonelli residence is, as you say, in the middle of the town. It's a great location. Perhaps that can be an ambassador's residence or a corporate or something else. That's a much more appropriate place for an ordinary private person. What else are you going to do with the thing on Avlabari?
Yeah, okay. All right. I just hate that stupid dome. Speaking of infrastructure. On the 21st of April, the Minister of Regional Development, Dato Shavliashvili, resigned, citing his deteriorating health, which is, of course, BS. 31-year-old Shavliashvili.
31-year-old strapping lad,
Shavliashvili, served as a regional development minister since July 2014. Previously, he was head of the roads department in the same ministry, and before that, he was head of the Natural Resources Agency at the Ministry of Energy. There were rumors about his possible resignation in March. One of his deputies, Nodar Javakhishvili, criticized Shavliashvili in a newspaper interview, saying that he can't say that Shavliashvili is a good minister.
So Javakhishvili is Bidzina's long-term guy. So he was the minister, the central banker, rather, that introduced the lari back in 93. He's seen as quite a good, sort of clever guy, but he's also seen as a fierce Bidzina loyalist. He was behind, during the lari crisis, he was briefing diplomats and so on about the current head of the central bank, suggesting he should be thrown in prison. He's pretty out there.
Right.
And he's completely Bidzina's creature, which is a problem.
After Shavliashvili's resignation was announced, Prime Minister Gadabashvili said that he will appoint Nodar Javakhishvili as the new Minister for Regional Development. Javakhishvili was appointed Deputy Minister of Infrastructure in December 2014. Before that, he was Director of BI's Kartu Bank and Kartu Group, and in the 90s was chief of the central bank. Gadabashvili noted that Shavliashvili had asked to resign a number of times since December 2014, but it was only accepted now. Shavliashvili is the fifth cabinet minister to be replaced since the current government won a confidence vote in parliament in July 2014.
Did you notice that Irakli Gadabashvili condemned him with the faint praise of he was a good manager? This is what Gadabashvili says about anyone that is a terrible, completely useless minister. Is they're a good man. Dato Nurmanya, when he was being elected for mayor of Tbilisi, was frequently described as a good manager.
Right, in order to compensate for his Maghrelian accent.
Well, and his complete lack of qualifications, and as I predicted, he's been a terrible mayor. He still is a terrible mayor. So anyone that's called a good manager is basically a kiss of death. Never trust anyone called
I wouldn't say he's a bad mayor. He's a good manager.
He's a terrible mayor.
He is a terrible mayor. Yeah, he's got, right, I don't know. I mean, there's certainly a lot of rumors about, considering that political prisoner Gigi Ugulava is in jail for all sorts of corruption charges, rumors coming out of the mayor's office about what's going on there, you know.
Well, there's other rumors that he was hit in the face by Javakhishvili, who was part shortly before Javakhishvili's fall from grace.
Oh, I
heard that he hit Nurmanya in the face for refusing to do a dodgy deal.
Interesting.
This is a complete rumor. It's a complete spurious rumor, and I have no evidence to back it up, but it's certainly what I heard from a couple of people.
Wow. On the 18th of April, Georgian national Georgi Tanalidze was killed in combat in the village of Shirokine near Mariupol in eastern Ukraine. He was fighting with the right-wing Azov battalion on the pro-Ukraine side. Another Georgian was also wounded, according to the other Georgians fighting there. This is the fourth reported fatality among Georgians fighting in Ukraine. Three of them were on the Ukrainian side and one on the side of the Russian-backed separatists. There is a public funeral for Tanalidze in Kiev, and his body is being brought back to Georgia on the 23rd of April today. Following up on last week's story, Interpol has removed former Justice Minister Zuradeshvili from the wanted list entirely. Last week, his name was removed from red notice. Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usubashvili was on an official visit to Kiev. He met his Ukraine counterpart on the 20th of April, and with Ukraine Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk.
So when is the Prime Minister going to Ukraine? He keeps saying he's going to go, doesn't he?
Well, I know the funny thing is he keeps saying he's going to go, and he says, "Oh, we got to work out a few technical details." It's like I'm going to go, and it's not like anybody's really asking because everybody kind of knows what's going on here. But he keeps like unbidded, just sort of saying like, "Yeah, any minute now, I just got to book my flight," you know. The minister, the parliamentary delegation included Otsneva coalition lawmakers Tedo Japaridze, who everybody knows, you know, is sort of used
foreign
to be
policy supremo,
right? You know, a former ambassador to the U.S. and was foreign minister for about 5 seconds, and then found out he wasn't foreign minister on TV when Solomon Zurabashvili was appointed. Yeah. Tinuko Khidasheli, who is, as we know, Usubashvili's wife, and UNM lawmaker Georgi Vashadze.
Do you think they ran into lots of their former colleagues in Kiev. I mean, it seems like a bit of it's like a super every day in the Ukrainian capital, right? There's dozens of Georgians working in the administration.
Indeed, there are. And some of them, I mean, I don't know all of them particularly well. Some of them really quite good managers. people like Jabe Banowidze, you know.
Ayakas Gudanze.
Right, you know, who know what they're doing. Yeah, she did a wonderful job on Millennium Challenge when she was
there. She did a good job as Deputy Interior Minister. So her job was essentially in popularizing the police reforms and getting
the level of trust. She did that advertisement with the kids in uniform.
Well, I mean, she essentially was partly responsible for making the Georgian public trust their police force, which is increasingly being undermined. So even if she wasn't involved in the nuts and bolts of the, you know, firing everybody back in 2004, she still, you know, did some significant things there. She did the same in Kiev.
Interesting that Vashadze was brought along, because from what I've heard inside the UNM, Vashadze is the guy who is sort of Misha's representative in country within the sort of inner circle of the party. And there's within the UNM, there's a lot of discussions about Misha and what his role is and what it should or should not be. And Vashadze is the one that is sort of promoting, you know, Misha's view within the UNM, which is the more strident, aggressive view, as opposed to those who are just more sort of understand what's going on here and are thinking about who we make alliances with and don't. After visiting Ukraine,
Vashadze is also less conspiratorially. Vashadze is also the guy that pioneered and drove through the public service hall project here in Tbilisi, the justice houses and so on. He was a big player in that.
I think he came in quite late. I mean, I think that he was the one who implemented them.
That's a big priority for the Ukrainians.
Right, absolutely.
Could be a reason he was in the delegation.
Fair enough. I mean, I think that in reality, my impression was that that Vashadze was really sort of Zura Adeshvili's go-to guy in terms of implementation. This was always Adeshvili's vision, and a brilliant vision. I mean, I think it really worked very effectively.
Another good manager there.
Very, very a good manager who, you know, also managed
repressive evil system.
Yeah, a system that, you know, based state power on the, you know, terror of being tossed in jail with no recourse. Mm-hmm. But he also, with a lot of Estonian help, you know, set up the sort of computerization and taking everything online that was instrumental in getting rid of corruption. And I think gets less credit than the Interior Ministry getting rid of the cops,
it's
which was
boring,
less important. You know, I find it highly exciting. Anyway, so after visiting Ukraine, Zubashvili headed to Montenegro yesterday. He met with his Montenegrin counterpart, as well as Prime Minister and Interior Minister. Zubashvili stressed at the meeting were to discuss the NATO integration process, although everything I know about Montenegro is that it's more or less a sort of Russian beach holiday Disneyland colony, and that
don't
I'm
forget the illegal cigarettes, but it is also right. on track for NATO integration at some point.
For sure, so
much
just,
less controversial than Georgia.
Right, so I'm just wondering. Well, I mean, it's, you know, a little bit better located in that regard, but I'm wondering if he's meeting any serious Russians there. Foreign Minister Tomiko Berdichashvili attended a meeting of the EU Foreign Ministerial Council in Luxembourg on the 20th of April. There was a Friends of Georgia meeting organized by the Slovak Foreign Minister to discuss Tbilisi's expectations for the upcoming Eastern Partnership Summit in Riga.
Expectations? Do you mean manage expectations?
Manage expectations. Yeah, exactly. I'm not really sure if they're gonna get visa free, but we'll see. EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini Kagebizhniki and EU Commissioner, sorry, did that slip out? And EU Commissioner for Neighborhood Policy, Johannes Hahn, attended. During Berdichashvili's visit, Hahn announced that the EU will grant a new financial package to Georgia if the EU assessment mission prepares a positive report on the country's progress. In May, the EU financial assistance will be worth 410 million euros, that's a bunch of euros, and will be spent on implementing the EU-Georgia Association Agreement. A portion of the financial package will also be used to boost micro and small business entrepreneurship in Georgia. Interesting to see how they go about doing that. President of Belarus, Lukashenko, is paying his first official visit to Georgia from the 22nd to the 24th
right
of
now.
April, which means he must be here right now. I haven't seen him around. He's meeting with President Mark Velashvili, Prime Minister Irakli Khadabashvili. He'll be skateboarding in the presidential palace because there's so much.
So much rotation. Did you see what a friend of the show and I'm not gonna name his name said about the visit? He saw on Facebook there was a photo of the two presidents together, and he goes, "Oh, look at Lukashenko. He's such a cheeky man. I bet Bidzina and Putin are on the phone right now talking about how much they hate both these people." Also, did you see what Batka said, Lukashenko? And he said, "I have never been to Georgia before. I'm glad to be in Georgia. I've never been to Georgia before, except Sukhumi." Clever.
Really?
Clever Lukashenko.
Nice. He's also going to meet with Tatu Supashvili and Patriarch Ilya II. Georgia and Belarus are planning to create a joint venture producing agricultural machinery equipment. Georgia's Ministry of Agriculture and Belarusian Ministry of Industry signed a memorandum of cooperation today. There's also Georgian Belarusian Business Forum. Belarusian Georgian businesses are signing memorandums of cooperation, including Sadajashvili is signing on with a big Minsk beverage company. Following up on the Yuri Vazagashvili murder investigation, Gia Sosanashvili, who is the accused murderer, said that his DNA samples found at Vazagashvili's murder scene were planted. Sosanashvili's lawyer submitted a claim to the prosecutor's office. They explained the DNA samples were taken from Sosanashvili on the 6th of February by the chief of the General Inspection Department. 2 weeks after the murder, Rowan Asanidze, in Asanidze's office, that the DNA was then planted at the murder scene. Following up on another murder case, investigators looking into the Erosi Kitsmatashvili case say that a man of presumably North Caucasus appearance, interesting,
he's wearing a hat.
was present at the crime scene before police arrived, according to footage from surveillance cameras. As a reminder, Kitsmatashvili was found dead in his car on the 15th of July, 2014. An investigation is underway on charges of driving a person to commit suicide. On a similar note, on the 23rd of April, the children of businessman Beso Hardziani was killed in Tbilisi in March. Have accused their stepmother of ordering the murder.
Wicked stepmother. But Mark, I have to say, I don't think that you should be so hysterical about all these murders. Why do you go on about these murders all the time? I mean, why can't you talk about the good things that are happening in Georgia all the time? It's murder, 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 crime. I mean, really, there's a positive story about what's going on right now in Georgia. I think it's irresponsible of you to focus on these unsolved, mysterious, deeply suspicious murders.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially Kitsmatashvili. I mean, Kitsmatashvili was murdered. You know, it's not a suicide. Everybody knows.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, of all of them, he was a very important guy. Rustavi Odi is a very important station, the most popular TV station around. He's the guy who started it, who owned it. He was incredibly important in the Rose Revolution. The triumvirate of Borjanadze, Zhvania, and Misha was not actually them. The triumvirate was Kitsmatashvili, Zhvania, and Misha. And, you know, and the fact that he would die in that way is just very important. That they're pretending that that was a suicide is just, I don't know, deeply frustrating. Speaking in court for a pretrial detention hearing on the 17th of April, former Interior Minister Bano Metabashvili promised to take revenge for every official involved in the detention of former government officials. He said he will punish them personally. As a reminder, Metabashvili was arrested in May 2013 and has been in prison since. Well,
I guess he didn't get the memo. I guess in prison, you know. So Bakradze at the big jamboree that UNM held on Freedom Square, where they got tens of thousands of people. Bakradze said, "We won't punish anybody. It's like we'll just forgive the past. Everything's cool, guys. We're not going to get into this cycle of revenge." Slightly undermined by the guy that was Interior Minister for 7 years. "I will punish you."
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, the sort of zero tolerance thing, you know, when there's sort of, when alternating power alternates officials put in jail or shaken down or whatever else, you know. It's not the way forward. Anyway, according to data by the central bank, money transferred from abroad to Georgia in the first quarter of 2015 declined by 22.8% year on year. Money transfers from Russia, the largest source of remittances from Georgia, were down by 43.6% year on year in January, March 2015. There was also a decline in remittances from Greece and Italy. by 17.8% and 9.4% year-on-year, respectively. And that that hurts. That's an important part of the Georgia economy.
There you go again. Decline, decline, decline. I mean, stop focusing on
Well, hey, listen. I mean, as I have said on the show before, I mean, the dollar-to-lari exchange rate is not Georgia's fault. It is not this government's fault. Sure. I think that the current national bank's choice not to support the lari was a smart choice because it would have wasted, you know, a couple hundred million of foreign reserves.
Well, Vanishvili disagrees with you. He's got $5 billion. So.
Right. Yeah. So why doesn't he support the currency? You know, if he wants to do a little macroeconomic stimulus, you know, like go for it, buddy. On the 24th of April, Armenians will mark the 100th anniversary of genocide against Armenians living in the Ottoman Empire in 2015, in which 1.5 million people were killed. At the same time, Turkey is commemorating the centennial of a major military victory by Ottoman forces over Allied powers in Gallipoli, World War I.
So this is a deeply cynical thing on Turkey's part, because every other year they celebrated it on the 23rd. And this year they're moving it to the 24th. And for anyone in Yerevan, I think there's going to be a free System of a Down concert in Yerevan tonight, which should be pretty amazing.
Huh? Yeah, it's big. I mean, I think that the Armenian. I mean, it's one of those frustrating things. The Armenians' efforts to force the Turks to say that there was a genocide
make it less likely for them to say.
Right. And I mean, I think whether it's the government's responsibility to do that, you know, I don't really know. On the other hand, it was a genocide, and not saying that and refusing to say that, and, you know, even this government, which is a little bit better than, you know, all other governments, which is not saying much, you know, their refusal to say that is, I don't know, it's just kind of a, you know, I don't know whether we need to talk about that. On the other hand, you know, when people refuse that, it can be just so maddening that, you know, what can you do? Anyway, our hearts go out to Armenians and the 1.5 million people that were killed 100 years ago. And, you know, everybody who's not a Turkish government official and everybody else, let's, you know, keep that in our thoughts tomorrow. United States Europe Command, or EUCOM, is training an explosive ordnance disposal company of the Engineer Brigade of the Georgian Armed Forces. The training is being held at the Vaziani Military Base, began on the 22nd of April, and will run for 3 weeks. Training is part of the NATO FPF Trust Fund Project Georgia 4. As of the 23rd of April, the National Bank set a new official exchange rate of U.S. dollars 1.2539 lari. Bruno Balvanera, the EBRD's director for the South Caucasus, commented the National Bank's decision to save reserves amid the lari's depreciation was the right decision. Glad the EBRD is listening to TheBeelPod.com. I'm just kidding there, Bruno. New airline companies will enter Georgian market in June, according to the Deputy Minister of Economy. Negotiations with Air Berlin are on final stages. Oh, cool. As well as with Ryanair and EasyJet. Greek company Elenair applied to the aviation agency to start weekly flights between Tbilisi and Thessaloniki starting from the 8th of June. Two low-budget Israeli airlines, Israel and Arkia, plan to resume flights between Tel Aviv and Tbilisi for the summer season. Israel wants to launch 4 flights a week, while Arkia will fly once a week from the 14th of May and twice a week from the 7th of June. Egyptian Air Cairo will also fly between Tbilisi and Hurghada twice a week from the 2nd of June. There will be 2 flights per week between Tbilisi and Astana by Air Astana from the 1st of June. I wonder who flies to Astana.
Kazakhs.
I guess. I always think of Kazakh investment in Georgia as code for Russian investment in Georgia, so I always wonder who these alleged Kazakhs are. But, you know, Kazakhs sound
like oil transfer. They do a lot of stuff with Georgian railways, with oil
transit.
Shooting
people.
They do the gas.
Right. Georgian Football Federation has banned Zestaponi FC from taking part in the national championships after it didn't show up to a match against Ghoris Dila. Due to financial troubles, the Football Federation's disciplinary committee.
Dila, by the way, is the only league team probably in Europe to be named after a poem, and Dila indeed a poem by Stalin.
What do you know? Yeah. I didn't know that. Thank you, the Will, champion of the factoid.
Huge football fan. Yeah.
Absolutely. Football Federation disciplinary committee disqualified in accordance with the Federation's rule. The committee also imposed a 1-year trial period for the club's director. The club has 1 week to appeal the decision. Zestaponi Football Club was owned by shareholders of the ferro alloy plant in Zestaponi, became one of the country's top teams after the change in government in 2012. The plant refused to continue financing the club. In February, there were talks about the club's bad financial situation. Zestaponi Gamgeoba promised to help, but didn't. Club hasn't paid its electricity and other utility bills for a month, and the players haven't been paid for several months and are ticked off. Russian opposition billionaire Mikhail Khodorkovsky is involved in implementing two large-scale projects in Tbilisi. Glad to know he's still got some money. Worth about $100 million, according to economic news site BPN.GE. The projects are the new East Point Shopping and Entertainment Center and the Tbilisi Garden Residential Complex on the Kakheti Highway towards Lilo and the airport, which are being built by Quadrum Global, which was partly owned by Khodorkovsky. According to a recent interview in RIA Novosti with Vanuatu's Foreign Minister Sato Kilman, Vanuatu does in fact still recognize Abkhazia as an independent country. To recap,
Vanuatu. Do we have to recap?
Yes, we do. Vanuatu, Vanuatu's got a great Transparency International chapter. Vanuatu at first recognized Abkhazia in 2011, then denied it.
That was Foreign Minister Willy Telavi, who was notable for having the name of a city in Georgia while right. recognizing Abkhazia.
And who went to university in Moscow and had strong connections there. The new prime minister withdrew recognition, but then the old prime minister was reinstalled and reconfirmed recognition. New government in 2013 established diplomatic relations with Georgia, signed an agreement in which Abkhazia was explicitly stated to be a part of Georgia. Since May 2014, a different government is in power. While visiting Moscow in March 2015, the Vanuatu foreign minister met with his Abkhaz counterpart, Chirkpa, and reconfirmed Vanuatu's 2011 recognition of Abkhazia. Two people were killed and one is in hospital after an accident at the construction site of the Hulo Hydropower facility in Ajana. The two killings are a Georgian and Turkish citizen. The Ministry of Internal Affairs has launched an investigation on the basis of Section 240 of the Criminal Code, the violation of security rules during mining, construction, or other kinds of work. The Turkish engineering subcontracting company promised compensation to the families of the victims. Ombudsman Uche Nanuashvili called on the government to reestablish the labor inspection, which was dissolved under Misha. You can only imagine labor inspection. I mean, I'm not of the Kaka Bendukidze, there can be no inspection, but it's difficult for me to imagine this government particularly being able to have effective labor inspection.
Difficult to imagine this government being effective
by any. Difficult to imagine effective labor inspection under any government in Georgia. You know, I wouldn't go so far, Will. But anyway, locals from a nearby village demonstrated in support with the victims' families. There's strong opposition to the Hulo Hydropower Project among locals. They claim the installation will cause more landslides, which is already a major problem in the area. The 22nd of April, there were clashes between UNM members and Georgian Dream supporters in front of Gurjani Municipality Building in Kakheti. Two UNM members, including Irma Nadareishvili, were entering the building to meet with dismissed public servants. Dozens of Georgian Dream supporters came and threw eggs at them. Also, quite disgustingly, pieces of chicken wombs and embryos. Reportedly, the situation has been tense in Gurjani for a few days. UNM was accusing the local Gurjani government of corruption and nepotism and releasing information and specifics on names. Two Austrian climbers were found dead on the 16th of April in Kazbegi region. They apparently froze to death. On the 23rd of April, a man was taken by Russian guards for allegedly attempting to cross the border the administrative boundary line between Georgia and South Ossetia. It's believed he was taken to Skhinvali. He was, once again, a shepherd. Woman in Tbilisi was arrested for making and selling fraudulent U.S. green cards. She charged $8,100 plus an additional 1,000 euro. Officials said the woman was caught thanks to collaboration between the Georgian police and diplomatic security representative from the U.S. Embassy in Tbilisi. Woman is the director of the Georgian tourist company Gino Travel. Morning of the 20th of April, an unexploded grenade was found in the schoolyard of public school number 207 in Tbilisi's Guldani district. Students and teachers were immediately evacuated. Bomb specialists were called to the scene, removed the explosive device from school grounds. Batumi Boulevard administration installed 100 recycling bins that separate glass, paper, and plastic on the Black Sea Coastal Boulevard. Similarly, Batumi City Hall recently installed about 6 sidewalk garbage bins with large underground waste containers. The City Hall representative said the new underground waste containers were on a trial phase, and if it's effective, more of these new recycling bins will replace the old metal boxes. Call me crazy, but I don't think Georgians are going to separate their garbage.
But how does it, I don't understand how it works. A big underground thing. How does that work?
I have no idea. You know, maybe it's some little, you know, furnace.
Also, that's it. Wouldn't it just fill with rain?
Maybe. New Hotel Starwood and Resort signed a memorandum of understanding with Redco Construction Company to build a 5-star Sheraton hotel in Gudauri. According to the National Tourist Administration, the hotel will open for the 2016-17 winter season, and construction work will start in May 2015. Marriott International will open a 3rd hotel in Tbilisi by 2017. The new hotel will be a Moxie Hotel, which is a 3-star tier brand. The overseas private investment corporation, OPIC, the U.S. government's development finance institution, and GMT Group will help implement the $25 million project. The hotel will be located at Saarbrücken Square, formerly known as Vorontsov Square, and hotel group Carlson Reznor has revealed plans to open 2 new hotels in Georgia, a Park Inn by Radisson Tori in Tbilisi. All these sub-brands that nobody can keep track of.
Who's going to stay in these places?
Good question. And Radisson Blue Mestia Hotel in Svaneti. Carlson Reznor signed a partnership agreement with Georgian construction firm Block Geo Group, reportedly a Radisson Blue Resort. Sinandali Hotel will open in the near future, too, in Kajeti, that has been in the works for a very long time. I don't know who's going to stay
what
in
these. What are the occupancy rates in the big Tbilisi hotels at the moment? Do you know?
Not going up, but right. It's...
Well, they're clearly going down.
The problem is that a lot of the people that were coming into these hotels can't get visas anymore, you know? So they were, you know, people from Muslim countries, Iran, stuff like that. Basically, the dark people are not showing up so much, you know? So... one of the biggest importers in China, Shaanxi province, is planning to import about 500,000 bottles of Georgian wine. That's a lot of bottles. A 3-fold increase on its current quota, according to the National Wine Agency. The importer is called Shanjing Bing Pang Jang's Trade. I'm sorry for that pronunciation, but it's a very long word. And they've created Georgian Wine Club and Georgian Wine Salon in the region's capital, Urumqi. Ah, okay, Urumqi. So,
yeah. So this is Hualing people. So Hualing Group, who are among the biggest single investors in Georgia, who own Basis Bank, who are building this huge thing onto BCC, who own a free industrial zone in Kutaisi and a couple of hotels, and also forestry licenses, they were brought here by the Chinese government, who do a sort of, the western regions of China each have a sort of investee portfolio people. Right. They came, they made a deal with the UNM, but they've managed to not be kicked out, even though Bidzina basically said some very nasty things about them. They've managed to hold on and actually completing these projects, and that's established this Urumqi Tbilisi thing. And so this
I didn't realize that all of this Chinese investment was from one spot.
It's from Xinjiang, which is the
farthest western province of the country. Ah, okay, interesting. And that's where they've got flights, which is sort of the giant western hub, this huge, pretty frequent.
And so Hualing and this wine thing is a fruit of this Urumqi Tbilisi axis.
Interesting. Okay, they are also planning to build a Georgian wine shopping center in the China and Kazakhstan International Trade Center in the city of Kurgan, and are planning to organize wine tours to Georgia. It's a note, 217,000 bottles of Georgian wine is exported to China in the first 2 months of 2015, a 64% increase on the same period, 2014. Martin Billig, an Estonian entrepreneur and one of the developers of Skype, is visiting Tbilisi from the 23rd to 24th of April. He will host 2 masterclasses for students interested in startup development, the University of Georgia's Startup Nest, and at Ilya Business School's Business Incubator. U.S. Coast Guard Academy has further honored the 2 Georgian military cadets who tragically died in a car accident in March. Cadets pinned Georgian flags to their uniform while competing in the 49th annual Sandhurst Military Skills Competition. Irakli Turmanidze won silver over 105-kilo weight category at the 2015 European Weightlifting Championship, which was held in Tbilisi this past week. Yeah, I saw the giant barbells in the airport.
Was there not someone dressed as a chicken?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, I thought someone dressed as a chicken. They were dressed as an athletic chicken, like a runner chicken. Now I describe it, I see how that could be confusing. Yeah. But a giant chicken suit with like an athletic sports gear over that.
Interesting. No, I didn't get that.
That was the best thing to ever greet me at BCA.
I just saw some barbells there and, you know, thought of some way. Okay. Spain-based sambo wrestler Gia Magradze received a gold medal at the Spanish Championship in Madrid. His team, Club de Lucha Olímpica, overall got 4 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze medals. 8-year-old Georgian boy won the Outstanding Citizen Award at the 112 Award Ceremony 2015, which rewards excellence in emergency services and safety. The boy was awarded for saving his mother's life by immediately dialing emergency services when it was needed. International magazine Opera World named Georgian opera singer Nino Machaidze among the 10 best sopranos in the world. Wow.
Did you see the homophobe one, or is that another one?
No, different one. I don't think the homophobe is... Yeah, no, I don't think so. The National Library of Estonia in the capital of Tallinn held an exhibit on the Georgian alphabet. The exhibition was called Three Types of Georgian Scripts. George was featured in the Focus 2015 section of the Visions de Real 2015 Film Festival in Nyon, Switzerland. Six projects and 15 documentary films for Georgia were presented in the festival. Tina Teen Gurciani's film Love Song Pastorale won the Most Promising Project Prize. From the 1st to the 6th of May, Tbilisi will host local and international designers presenting their latest collections at the Mercedes-Benz Fashion Days in Tbilisi. Looks kind of interesting, actually. I saw the list of Georgians that are going to be there. Georgian interior people. From the 15th to the 17th of April, there was a Wine and Gourmet Japan exhibition in Tokyo. Georgia debuted this year, presenting the projects of six Georgian wine companies. Facebook now has a Khingali icon in the status update under What Are You Eating? The image is of the two pouch-like Khingalis. What do you mean two pouch-like
Khingalis? They're two, and I guess they could be construed as pouch-like.
Hmm.
They're pouches of meaty stuff.
I guess. Okay, good.
There's two of them in the specific...
Oh, two of them?
Yeah, there's two of them.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. All right, so in one icon, two Khingalis.
Two Khingalis.
Oh, okay, got it.
I mean, really, there should be like a whole plate of like 20 if you're
exactly.
going to get serious.
You know, exactly. And like some pepper and beer, you know, but all right. Parliamentary news, 15th of April. Parliament has its first reading of a bill proposed by Interior Ministry in December 2014 criminalizing participation in illegal paramilitary groups abroad and recruiting for these groups. The charges mainly aimed to deter people from fighting in Syria, although questions about Ukraine as well. Also on the 15th of April, Samvel Petrosyan, a majoritarian member of Parliament for Akhalkalaki, called for Parliament to recognize and condemn the Armenian genocide. Two ethnic Azerbaijani members of Parliament confronted him, saying Parliament was not the venue to recognize the Armenian genocide and that it was not in Georgia's national interest to discuss it.
That's probably true.
Tough question. I mean, as I said, I don't know whether parliaments need to be doing this. On the other hand, anybody that refuses to, you know, it gets a little complicated.
Yeah, I think it was probably unwise for Parliament to recognize the Circassian genocide because that obviously is going to...
set a precedent.
Yeah.
Parliament failed to hold a session on the 17th of April due to a lack of quorum. A number of lawmakers from UNM refused to undergo registration in protest over the pretrial detention of Kaha Nakani, a former commander of the Interior Ministry's Special Task Force. Nakani has been in pretrial detention since February 2015. He and four other former police officials and six servicemen, the Interior Ministry's Special Task Force, were arrested and charged in connection with the death of two men in a 2006 police operation, which the prosecution claims was premeditated murder. It was reported on the 16th of April that Nakani attempted to commit suicide in his cell. The prison ministry said that Nakani had non-life-threatening injuries which were self-inflicted in protest over his detention. Justice Ministry has submitted to Parliament an amendment to the criminal code separating criminal liability for people who purchase or possess drugs and those who sell drugs. One would think that would be a good distinction to draw. No more information for now on how they will be punished differently. Currently, under Article 2060 of the Criminal Code, illegal production, purchase, storage, transportation, transfer, or sale of drugs is punishable by prison sentence of up to 11 years, which was...
More than what you get for murder or rape.
Yeah, and which was very useful in with planting drugs in order to explain to people that they needed to...
That's not the mandatory sentence, though. There's also a lot of fines. Most people at the moment... for small amounts, get fine.
The meme this week is an interview with a famous Georgian rugby player for the national team that everyone is discussing. It's titled, "My Second Half Would Never Dare to Wear a Short Skirt." He talks proudly about being brought up with traditional values and that while the woman is the head of the body, the man is the neck and turns the body and the head follows. Except I thought it was the other way around.
Weird analogy.
It is a really, really weird analogy. It's causing lots of discussion and has lots of Georgian women ticked off. From stuff to read from the brilliant Georgia On My Mind blog, we have Sex in Georgia, the anniversary. Take a look. All sorts of great tips on dating and Georgian men. Liz Fuller's caucus's reports details political crisis in South Ossetia. Parliamentary Speaker Bibilov called for a vote of no confidence against a foreign minister over a dispute on the wording of the treaty of integration with Russia. However, President Bibilov refused to dismiss him despite a no-confidence vote. A second attempt at a no-confidence vote on the 15th of April, several members of parliamentary minority factions didn't show up, and so there was no vote. It's caused a dispute between the ruling party and other political parties, as well as a libel suit that has the support of the prosecutor's office in the Supreme Court against the parliamentary speaker, Bibilov. What's going on here is a pretty serious internal political dispute within South Ossetia, which is aggravated by the fact that there's a large portion of the South Ossetian opposition is in North Ossetia or Moscow or, you know, who knows where. What this will mean is unclear since it is so heavily controlled by Russia, especially after the agreement, but is important. Two former Peace Corps volunteers in Georgia have an Indiegogo campaign to help them create a Trans-Caucasus hiking route through the mountains from the Black Sea to the Caspian that goes mainly through Georgia. I've looked at the route.
Good luck to them. Yeah. Seriously, I mean, there's no Indiegogo campaign in the world that's gonna sort that one out.
Yeah, I mean, having tried to drive in some of those areas, I don't know how that could
ever work.
Yeah, well, okay, hey, we'll see. More power to him, and I think it is worthy of support. So go take a look at the link. An interview with Swiss ambassador in the financial who gives advice to Georgia on how to protect itself, both in terms of national security and economic development. He's a smart guy, been around for a while. He also importantly notes that in the regions, judges are open to bribery and the government must deal with that, which is a little bit more forward than I've heard most ambassadors be about concerns they have in Georgia right now. Following up on last week's Out of Eden's walk to Georgia, now they have a map of some of those things to see in Georgia. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty has...
Yeah, I saw that map, actually. I saw their walking tour of Tbilisi, and I was really surprised to see it, because the one in the Lonely Planet is way better. This is from the National Geographic.
Full disclosure here, yeah. Will.
Yeah.
Didn't you write that?
No, I just wrote the drinking section.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So there you have it. Take a look. Let us know what you think. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty has great photos from this year's Eastern Lelo match in Guria. Monica Elena writes on child brides in Georgia for Eurasianet. This week's CRC blog post looks at how well people can identify whether an organization is an NGO or not based on CRC Georgia's 2014 survey on volunteerism and civic participation, which is quite interesting. All these things to read posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 38. That is how many current public officials previously worked for Bidzina Ivanishvili or Bidzina Ivanishvili-affiliated companies, according to a new report by the hardest-working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia. Some examples are Prime Minister Khadabashvili, the Acting Interior Minister, Health Minister, New Minister of Regional Development, and the Deputy Minister of Agriculture. English version will come out later in a week. They also mentioned that, for example, there are some drivers at Kartu Bank that now hold relatively senior regional and district positions.
Didn't Bidzin himself say shortly after coming to power that a little bit of nepotism is only natural?
Only natural. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Of course you trust your friends and relatives and you can work with them. So what's wrong with that?
Right. Every day until the 29th of April, Amidani Cinema is playing The Avengers at 10:30 p.m. In London, on the 25th of April, the Duke of York Square Saturday Market is hosting an event called Taste Georgia, where there'll be Georgian wine, Khingali and Khachapuri. It is from 10 to 6 p.m. The event is organized by Enterprise Georgia in cooperation with the British Georgian Chamber of Commerce, the Georgian Embassy in the UK, and the British Embassy in Tbilisi. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2011, this is Nicholas Jar and Mi Mujer. Jar is from Chile in the United States, went to Brown University. But there is a homemade video on YouTube made in Georgia with lots of different Georgian sites. It has 8 million hits, which is more than any other Georgian video. Here's the song.
pensar si ha visto mi mujer, ha visto mi mujer por la calle allá. ¿Dónde está mi mujer? En la calle, por acá, por ella y por ella y por ella. Ha visto mi mujer en la calle, en el club, en la mesa. Ha visto mi mujer. Oye, dime si pensaba, si ya tú me...